both say good morning. Thank you. Right, so today's daf is Chofei 25, and we are picking up on the bottom of Chof Talon of Base 24b, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav. So we'll say, remember again, first of all, today's daf is sponsored by Jerry and Abby Applebaum in commemoration of the yard side of Abby's aunt, Jean Hoffman Gitl Basav. Rav Zichron Livracha, we hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama has an Aliyah. Amen. So we'll say, let's pick up last. Again, Chav Dalam Beis 24b, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, remember again, we dealt with in the Mishnah yesterday a number of fascinating cases in terms of gittin that are puzzled, right? Invalid gittin. And remember, we saw a number of different cases in terms of some gittin that were puzzled simply because, again, they were not written even for the sake of divorce. Other gittin that were puzzled because they are written for a particular man and for a particular woman and wanted to be used by a second couple. And then still a third case of gittin where it was written by a specific man, but it wasn't specifically written for a specific wife. And in all of those cases, the Mishnah ruled that the get is puzzle. The Gemara now is going to discuss the impact of a get puzzle. What is the impact of a puzzle get? Now you'll see why that's an interesting question in just a moment. The Gemara says, Amar Rav. So Rav said, Kulan poslin b'kuhuna. We'll say, listen to this. So Rav said, literally, all of these gittin that we say are puzzle gittin, if a husband in fact gives them to his wife, as much as the get is not effective and she is not divorced, but that get will passel her from the kahuna. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Poslin, hein osa mina kahuna, im baila koi nifsala alav mishum grusha. They will say, now listen to this, how this practically plays out. Let's say Reuven is in the shuk. Let's say Reuven gives his wife one of these pasul gittin. One of these pasul gittin mentioned in the Mishnah. And then what happens? Now she's not divorced, but then he dies. So you'll say she's an almana. As an almana, as a widow, technically speaking, she's permitted to go ahead and even marry a kohen. What Rav is saying is, as much as the get was not effective, she is a quasi grusha and therefore cannot go ahead and marry a kohen even after the death of her husband. Now we'll see why that is in just a moment. However, Rav says chutz min harishon. Rav also, with the exception of the first get. Remember, the first get was the one that was written in the shuk, right? That's the ones being written by apprentices for practice purposes. So look at Rashi. Rashi says chutz min harishon shelo nichtav l'shem gerushin. Remember, that first get wasn't even written at all for the sake of divorce. Aval b'hanach basrei pasli dereach haget posel b'kuhuna. Desanya parak basra omer l'ishtari at migoreshes men of yatim tarz tachol adam posel minakun rabose. So this, the Gemara, Rav is introducing us over here to the concept. This is a sugya we're going to see later on. You can see pei beis. A fast is called reach haget. Reach haget means literally the scent of a get. What does it mean, the scent of a get? That there are times where the get itself is puzzle, but it leaves a get residue. And that get residue, that scent of a get, that reach haget, will ultimately invalidate her from the kahuna. So Rav suggests that all of the cases in the Mishnah, as much as all of the gittin are puzzle, if a husband in fact gave his wife one of these gittin, there's a reach haget, and therefore if subsequently the husband dies, the wife is not permitted to go ahead and marry a kohen. I'm sorry? It would not. We'll see that. We'll see that, but it would not aser her to him. Correct. So, however, Rav says, with the exception of the first case, right? Case number one, Rav says, is so not a get, meaning that there's not even a reach haget associated with it. Shmuel says, no, even the first case, which was the get only written for the training get, ultimately says Shmuel produces reach haget and will pass it from the kuna. But as the Shmuel Atamei, Shmuel goes according to his reasoning. Amr Shmuel called Makum Shishanu Chachamim get puzzle, because Shmuel said any time that Chazal rule that a get is puzzle, puzzle uposel, it goes ahead and the get itself is puzzle, and it also puzzles her from ultimately marrying into the kahuna. Same thing, chalitza. Whenever there is a chalitza psula, whenever there is an invalid chalitza, then psula, the chalitza itself is puzzle. uposalta min ha'achin. And that will go, it will say, so you can have a chalitza that's pasul, but even when a chalitza is pasul, what? The halacha is that it still prohibits her or precludes her from marrying any of the other brothers. But ma'arav amri mishmid Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar in Eretz Yisrael, they said, in the name of Rabbi Lazar, smol balayla psulos uposos. So we'll say, the Gemara is giving examples of invalid chalitza. So what's an example of invalid chalitza? Smol, remember again, we'll say the process of chalitza is that the woman, the sister-in-law, the widow, goes out and takes the shoe off the foot, of her husband's surviving brother. So the halacha, she's supposed to take off the right shoe. Let's say instead of taking off the right shoe, she took off the left shoe, or for that matter, chalitza is supposed to be done by day. Let's say she does it by night. In those cases, Rabbi said the chalitza is pasul, psulos, uposlos. In those cases, Rabbi said the chalitza is pasul, but even though it's an invalid chalitza, she's also still precluded now from doing yibum with any of the other brothers. Tap of chafhei. On the other hand, katan and pilya, psulos, vein poslos. Rabbi said, on the other hand, if she does chalitza with one of the brothers who's a katan, or for that matter, again, she uses an ampilia. Ampilia, Rabbi Yosef, is like a cloth shoe. Remember, again, chalitza has to be done with a sandal. If instead she does it with a cloth shoe, in those cases, the chalitza, of course, is possible, but ein poslos. It does not invalidate her from the other brothers. Rabbi Yosef, that's another way of saying that if the chalitza is so far removed from being a correct chalitza, then although the chalitza itself is possible, but it won't invalidate her legabe the other brothers. Ziri Amr, Ziri said, Kulan ein poslin chutz min arishon. So I'll say, so interesting enough, Ziri said, in all of these cases, none of these cases, meaning in the Mishnah, will invalidate her for marrying a Kohen, except for the last case. But remember, what was the last case? The last case in the Mishnah was a man says to the sofer, I have two wives named Leah. I'm not sure which one I'm going to divorce. So just write it for Leah. And again, when I decide which wife I'm going to divorce, retroactively, it should be clarified that what? That the Leah for whom you wrote the get was the wife that I actually divorced. In other words, Breira. So Ziri says, in all of the cases in the Mishnah, if a husband gave his wife one of these gittin, so the get is puzzle, but it does not invalidate her from Kohanim, except for the last one. Now what's the logic in that? Rashi says, Chutz mina achron, de l'chumra arminon yesh breira. Because Rabbi say, because l'chumra, we're stringent, and we say that there is a concept of breira, upsula l'kuhuna. So therefore Rabbi say, we'll be machmir and say yesh breira. If you hold yesh breira, then technically speaking, again, the get could have been kasher, but the get's not really kasher. It's just that l'chumra will say that it's effective enough to render her unfit for the kuhuna. So the Gemara goes, I'm Rav Asi, kula mein posin, similarly, Rav Asi said, all of the gittin mentioned in the Mishnah, none of them go ahead and passel her from the kuhuna, except for the last one because of a chumra of breira. For Rabbi Yochanan says, af achron nami posel. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even the last get mentioned in the Mishnah will not go ahead and passel her from the kuhuna. But Amar Rabbi, in other words, we'll say, that's another way of saying that what? Rabbi Yochanan will say, in breira. In Breira, we don't hold the Breira when it comes to Gittin, and therefore even that last get is just simply a meaningless statement. Va'azda Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, Rabbi Yochanan, this is very interesting. And Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his reasoning. How so? Rabbi Yochanan, remember, Rabbi Yochanan Shita is in Breira, which means that you can't rely on retroactive clarification to provide clarity in a legal context where explicit clarity is necessary for transactional execution. Oh. I rehearsed that a couple of times last night. So I can't repeat it. So now we can't say it again. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, now you're going to see. So simply said, Rabbi Yochanan holds in Breira. So says the Gemara. Va'az Rabbi Yochanan tamei. So Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his reasoning. How so? Du'am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is actually a fascinating case. Du'am Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'achin shechalku l'kuchosein u'machzirin ze l'zeh b'yovel. Rabbi Yochanan, this is a really a fascinating case in general. You have a father. We'll call him Yaakov. Yaakov has, we'll call it, for argument's sake, 12 sons. Right? He dies. He leaves a large estate. But what happens? He doesn't say, to make things even easier, let's say he also has a daughter and she's the firstborn. So there's no male bechor, there's no male firstborn. So the sons inherit, and because there's not a male firstborn, all of the sons inherit equally. But again, the father didn't say, you know, this chelik is for Reuven, this chelik is for Shimon, this chelik is for Levi. The father just simply said, I'm leaving my estate to my sons. So what happens now? So they go. So Rabbi Yochanan says that brothers who go ahead and divide up the estate, lekuchosin, they're like purchasers from one another, and therefore umachzirin ze laze biyovel. And therefore, we'll say in the Yovel year, when property reverts back to its original owner, Rabbi Yochanan posits that all of the property goes back into like a familial pot and is redivided again. In other words, we're going to say, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Luku Chosein, the in Breira. Rabbi Yochanan holds in Breira, the Ikala Mechash, Chilek Shanatal Ze, Hayaroi Lechav, Vechlifu, Behind the Likicha, Bechos Rabbi Yovel, Tchilas Mishumitzas Yovel, Vahadar Shachli Kidimekara. We'll say, listen to this case. This is actually a good test case. In this case, father dies, leaves the property to his sons. It's not explicit about which son gets which piece of property. So if you hold Yesh Breira, Yesh Breira means that when the sons divide up the estate, what happens? Yesh Breira says, retroactively, it's clarified that the portion that they got is the portion the father wanted them to have. That's how it's if you hold Yesh Breira. If you hold Ein Breira, then what? Then what? Then Lamaisa, they all have a portion, but who says that's the portion that the father wanted them to have? It could be the father wanted Reuven to have the one that Levi has, and Levi has the one that Zvulun was supposed to have. So what happens if you hold Ein Breira? That essentially they're considered to be like lekuchos, like they purchased interest from one another. You'll say to yourself, who cares? What's the nafkamina? Oh, the nafkamina Rabbi says Yovel. Nafkamina is Yovel. Because you see, Yovel doesn't impact inheritance, but Yovel does impact real estate transactions, real estate sales. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you hold that the brothers essentially are just inheritors, and Yesh Breira, there's retroactive clarification that what they got is what the father would have wanted them to have, then Yovel doesn't impact the property split. But if you hold that they're lekuchos, that they like purchase interest from one another, then what? It works beautifully for 50 years. But every 50 years, the property reverts back to what it was when the father first died, and there has to be what? Another division. I will say, of course, it's not the biggest deal in the world. The brothers just have the ability to say, we're happy to maintain, or we're happy to recreate the same division we have for the last 50 years. But the point is, it is a process that occurs every 50 years. So the point of Osei Chisilvi is that Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. So the Gemara says the following, Utsricha. We need both cases. Remember, so essentially, Rabbi Yochanan has just stated the same concept twice in Breira, but he quoted it now by Gittin. Remember, again, that's the last case in the Mishnah. Last case in the Mishnah was Reuven has two wives named Leah. He says to the sofer, write the get named Leah for the one named Leah, and then when I decide which Leah I'm divorcing, it should be retroactively clarified that the Leah I divorce is the Leah you wrote the get for. So Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't work. So Rabbi Yochanan says in Breira by Gittin and in Breira by inheritance. So the Gemara obviously he's asking, let's say, you know, in general, whenever you're dealing with concepts, all you need to do is what? State the concept once. And once you state the concept once, then again, you could apply it to as many cases as you want. Why does Rabbi Yochanan feel compelled to state the application of Breira by two different cases? I'll tell you why. Utsricha di'i itmar baha. Because if I would have just said it in this case, baha kamar Rabbi Yochanan de'in Breira mishum deba inan la lishma. So I understand that Rabbi Yochanan holds Breira by Gittin. Why? Because maybe Gittin is different. Gittin has a special gzer, sakasiv, of la lishma. Right? That a get has to be written for the sake of this particular woman. That's why Ein Breira. You can't have retroactive clarification when there must be a degree of explicit intent for a particular woman. But maybe in the case, again, by Yovel, maybe Rabbi Yochanan would hold that there is Breira. And again, remember, Yovel only impacts sales, doesn't impact Yerusha or gifts. V'yashmo inan sada mishum de l'chumra. Or if Rabbi Yochanan would have just told me that he doesn't hold, that he holds in Breira by the field, by the case of the Yerusha, I would have said because that results in a chumra, right? Because ultimately, again, the need to return the field back to the familial pot every 50 years is a chumra. Inami ke betchila. And I will say the other idea over here is that if you hold in Breira, ultimately, again, it goes back to, meaning it resets. Aval hacha imalo. But perhaps by gittin, I would say yesh brera. Therefore, tzvicha. So we'll say the Gemara essentially answers that each case, each of these cases, gittin and property division, each have their unique aspects. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, had Rabbi Yochanan just stated ein brera by one of them, I might have thought that that was dafka over here, but in a different situation, you might hold yesh brera. So we'll say, just so you should know, how do we pass in the halacha? I just want to point something out to you. The case of brera, is, or I should say, the concept of Breira is something we've seen already a number of times throughout our journeys in Shas. And the truth is, Breira is dealt with differently in different cases, as we will see. How about for Hilchos Gittin? So the Shulchan Aruch in Evan HaEzer, Hilchos Gittin. You should know, Shulchan Aruch has a whole dedicated section of Hilchos Gittin. Part of it is actually an interesting section about how to actually write a get, as well as Shemos names, which we'll get into. So the Shulchan, this is Evan HaEzer, Hilchos Gittin, Kuf Lamed Aleph Sif Dalet. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Yeser Alkein, Amr LeSofer, Kosuf. The Ezo Sheerze Agarish Bo, the Kasav Hasofer, Al Das Ze Vigirish Bo Achas Mehen, Hare Ze Safek Girishin. So we'll say again, interestingly enough, that's the first case, right? That Halacha Lemaisa, again, if you go ahead and you tell him to write it for Leah, and he say, I'll decide later on which Leah I want to go out and divorce, Safek Girishin. We'll say Safek Girishin means Reach HaGet, that the get is not effective. But Lamai said it's still a reach, which means if the husband were to die, she would not be able to marry a kohen. V'huadinim amarlo ksof le'ezo shetetze b'pesach tchila agar shenobo. So I'll say same thing ultimately if you use brera. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, essentially in brera by gittin. There is no brera. There is no retroactive clarification. But if you use the get that required brera, as much as the get is ineffective because ein brera begin or ein brera over here, nevertheless there would be an element of reach haget, and therefore again it would passel her from marrying into the kuna afterwards. Okay, so it says the Gemara. Ba minei Rav Hoshea me Rav Yehuda. Amar le Lavla. Supposedly, actually, this is the case that we're going to about to read now. A man says to the sofer, Kasav le'eze shetetze bepesach tchila mahu. Well, so listen to this case, right? So maybe you just finished, you know, I don't know, learning Sefer Yoshua, the episode of Yiftach, right? So what happens? So listen, I'm in a, I don't know what kind of mood he's in, but I have two wives named Leah. We'll say again, each of these cases only work if the wives have the same name. So he says to the server, listen, write the get. The case over here is where he's saying, write the get now for Leah. Which Leah? Let's see. Let's stand out here. Whoever walks out of the house first, that's the one I'm going to divorce. We'll say, first of all, this guy's not a keeper anyways, right? So this is, so whoever's going to walk out of the house first, that's the one who's going to be divorced. So Amrlei, so Ma, what's Talach? So we'll say, Rav Hoshea is asking this Kasha Rav Yehuda, what is the status of such a get? So Amrlei, Tanisua. To which Rav Yehuda responded, we learn this. Yes, Rami Khan, Amr Lalav, their Kasav Le'ezah She'erza, Egarish, Pasal Egarish, Ba'ama In Breira. So we'll say, to which Rav Yehuda responds, we already dealt with this, right? How did we already deal with this? The Mishnah said that if a man says to the scribe, I have two wives named Leah, write a get for Leah, and I'll decide later on which one to divorce, in other words, Breira, that it doesn't work. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, you see, ain't Breira. So it's the same thing again. If you write the get for Leah, and I have two wives named Leah, and I say, whichever one comes out of the house first, that's the one I'm going to divorce. It doesn't work because we're paskening ain't Breira. Esve, so Rabbi Yehuda raised the kasha. Rosh Ha'omer Libanov, Rabbi Yehuda is another amazing. So remember, so Rabbi Yehuda simply responds to Rabbi Yehuda saying, we paskin by gittin ein brera. There is no retroactive clarification. So now that you know that principle, plug that into whatever case you want. You want to say it's a case of where he has two wives named Leah, and he says, so for righty get for Leah, I'll decide later on which Leah to divorce. Or, I have two wives named Leah, I say righty get for Leah, and whichever Leah comes out of the house first, that's the one I'm going to divorce. Whatever case you want to plug it into, either way, gittin don't work when they depend on retroactive clarification. Esve, Sraboshi raised the kasha, Ha'omer lebanav harini shochet esa pesach, ami sheya'ale mikem rishon yushalayim. Listen to this case. The father says to his sons, here's the deal, right? I'm going to shech the Karban Pesach, and I'm going to have, remember, Karban Pesach, in order to eat of a Karban Pesach, you have to be part of a chabura. You have to be part of a group, right? And therefore, again, the person who's in charge of the Karban has to have in mind who it is that he shechted the Karban Pesach for. So a father says to his sons like this, here's the deal. I'm going to shech the Pesach, having in mind whichever one of you gets to Yerushalayim first. Whoever gets Yerushalayim first is included in the Karban Pesach. Whoever doesn't get to Yerushalayim first is not included. Now, we'll say, now what's the case over here? The case over here is where the kids are not going to get to Yerushalayim until later on in the afternoon. It's Erev Yontif, until later on in the afternoon. The father shecht in the Karban Pesach when? Earlier on, Chatzos, earlier on in the afternoon. So what's happening over here? What does the Gemara say? Kevan shenichnas rishon rosh of verubo. Once the first son, literally the head and the majority of his body, enters into Yerushalayim, zacha bechelko, he acquires his portion, umezake es echav imo, and literally he creates an entitlement for his brothers as well. So I will say, so again, we'll explain this in just a moment, but for our purposes, what Rav Hoshea sees in this case is a case of Brera. Right, he's saying, Rav Yehuda, what are you talking about? We do hold Yesh Brera, because look at this case. The father shecht in the Karban Pesach, not knowing which of his sons is actually going to get there first. The identity of the son who gets there first is only what? Is only clarified later on when the son actually arrives. So you see from here what? You see from here Yesh Brera. So which Rav Yehuda responds, I'm really Hoshea Brera, Hoshea my son. Ma inyan psachim etzel gin. What are you talking about? What does Pesachim have to do with Gittin? Ha'itmar Allah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kedei lezarzan b'mitzvos. Ah, this is not a case of Breira, right? This is a case of parental incentive. Now what happens? The father is trying to get his sons are shtick lazy. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to get them to move it a little bit, to lezarzan b'mitzvos, to get them to be a little bit zoriz. How do we know this? Dekonami diktani, kevan shenichnas rishon rosho verubo, zacha b'chelko, umezakes echavimo. We'll say, what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said, as soon as the first brother comes in, what happens? He gets his portion, and what? He creates an entitlement for his brothers as well. In other words, we'll say, what's the case over here? Rabbi says, this is not a case of Brera. This is, when the father shechs the Karban Pesach, who does he have in mind for the Karban Pesach? All of his kids. He's just saying this in order to get them to move a little bit, to come to Yerushalayim quicker. But the Maase, again, there's no Brera. He has in mind for all of them. That's why the Braise even says, as soon as the first brother gets there, he entitles himself and all of his other brothers to partake in the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, "I amrit b'shlava da'aminhu meikara shapir." So that makes sense. This case makes sense if you hold that the father had his sons in mind from the beginning. If you hold that the father didn't have his sons in mind at the time of the Shechita, is it possible to add in additional people after the Shechita? It doesn't work like that. The Karban Pesach, we learned, Nimdin Umoshkin Yedeim Imenu Ad Sheishchat. Both said, Aloha by Karban Pesach is actually part of a Chabura. An entry into a Chabura is sealed when? At the time of Shechita. So therefore, again, the Gemara is just trying to prove this can't be a case of Brera. Because they're all saying, for Karban Pesach to work, the Chabura has to be defined at the time of the Shechita itself. Therefore, even though the father is making it sound like he's using Brera in this situation, in reality, this is just a statement of Zrizos, just a statement to get the sons to move it a little bit and to get to Yerushalayim a little bit quicker. Tanya Nahachi, a Braisa that supports this idea that this is not a case of Brera, just a case of Zrizos. Maisa vikadmu banim banos lebanim venimtsu banos zrizos ubanim shvelim. There's an interesting postscript to this story that apparently in this family one time the father said it to all of his kids, and what happened? The girls got to Yerushalayim before the boys. And it turned out that what? That the girls were Zariz and the boys were not. So the point over here you see is that the entire purpose of this parental statement was not to actually dictate who was going to be and who was not going to be part of the Chabura, but rather again, everybody was part of the Chabura. It was just to encourage the kids to be a little bit more Zariz. Amar Abaye. So Abaye said the following, Kaboi mine tole bedas achirim, v'kaposhet le tole bedas atzmo, v'hadr mosiv le tole bedas achirim. So we'll say, listen to this. So here's what's fascinating. So Rabboshia asked the case, remember, what was Rabboshia's question, Rabbi Yehuda? Rabboshia's question, Rabbi Yehuda, was, a man says to the scribe, whichever, I want you to write the get, I have two wives named Leah, write the get for Leah, and whichever Leah comes out of the house first, that's the Leah I'm going to divorce. Okay, so does that work? That was the question Rabbi Moshe asked from Rabbi Yehuda. But says, so what happened? Rabbi Yehuda responded, we learned that in the Mishnah. What's the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is that a man says to the sofer, write for, I have two wives named Leah, write for me a get for a wife named Leah, and I'll decide later on which Leah it's going to be. It should be retroactively clarified which Leah is divorced. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, and then Rabbi Moshe tries to bring a proof. Rabbi Yehuda deflects Rabbi Moshe's question, and that Rabbi Moshe brings the case, a proof from the case of Karan Pesach. Rabbi Moshe, even though all of those cases sound the same, in fact, there is one nuanced, dramatic difference, which is there's a concept of Tola Bedas Atzmo versus Tola Bedas Achir. Rabbi Moshe, see, sometimes ambiguity is a result of the fact that other people have to take decisive action. And sometimes ambiguity is a result of the fact that I have to take direct action. So Rabbi Moshe, so for example, in Rabbi Moshe's case that he asked in Rabbi Yehuda, the case over here is I'm asking the sofer write a get for Leah, and whichever Leah comes out of the house first, that's the one who's divorced. That the Gemara calls Tola Bedas Acherim. That's a case of where there's ambiguity in the case, and the ambiguity is only, the certainty only comes about because of the actions of others. That was Rabbi Moshe's case. Rabbi Yehuda responds from the case of the Mishnah, which is a case of what? Tole bedas atzmo. That's dependent on me. I have two wives named Leah. I asked the sofer to write a get for Leah, and I'm going to decide ultimately which Leah I'm going to go out and divorce. And Rabbi Moshe then tries to deflect Rabbi Yehuda's proof from what? From the case of Karan Pesach, which is again what Rabbi Moshe? A case of Tola Bedas Achirim. So the Gemara, so Abaye is just pointing out, everyone thinks they're speaking the same language because everybody's talking about Breira. But I just want to point out, they're dealing with different cases of Breira. Rabbi Moshe's question is a case of Breira, but it's Tola Bedas Achirim. It's dependent on the actions of others. Rabbi Yehuda answers Rabbi Moshe's question with a case of Tola Bedas Atzmo, and then Rabbi Moshe brings a case to refute Rabbi Yehuda's answer of Tola Bedas Achirim. So the Gemara says, Amar Abayi, Kabay Minei Tola Bedas Achirim. Rabbi Moshe's question is a question that deals with uncertainty that is only resolved through the actions of others. Vika Poshet Le Tola Bedas Atzmo. And Rabbi Yehuda responds to the case of Tola Bedas Atzmo. Vahadir Mosiv Le Tola Bedas Achirim. Rabbi Moshe raises another kasha of Tola Bedas Achirim. So Amar Rava says, who cares? My kushya. Dilma demanda Isle Breira. Loshna Tola Bedas Atzmo. Loshna Tola Bedas Achirim. Isle Breira. Umanda lesle brera, loshna tola bedas atzmo, loshna tola bedas acherim, lesle brera. So we'll say the simple answer is, Rava says, maybe it doesn't matter. Meaning, maybe the idea is like this. It's not a shayla of the case, it's a shayla of the principle. If you hold yesh brera, then what? Then what? Yesh brera applies in all cases. It does, see, you hear the distinction over here? The Gemara is distinguishing as to the source of the ambiguity. Is the source of the ambiguity my lack of decisive action? That's Tola Bedas Atzmo. I just haven't decided which course of action I'm taking yet now. And when I decide, I'll become retroactively clarify what I meant from the beginning. Or is it a case of Tola Bedas Achir? Tola Bedas Achir means the ambiguity will only be resolved through the actions of others. So Rava suggests, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe at the end of the day, the core question is what? Do you hold the Breira? Or don't you hold of Breira? If you hold of Breira, then what? Then what? Then again, it doesn't matter. Tola Bedas Achirim, Tola Bedas Atzmo. We believe in retroactive clarification, no matter what the case. On the other hand, maybe if you reject Breira, if you say Ein Breira, there is no such thing as retroactive clarification. It doesn't make a difference if the ambiguity is a result of my lack of decisive action, or the ambiguity is a result of someone else's lack of decisive action. Amir Mershashi the Rava, supposed to say, this is really good stuff. So Mershashi said to Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, listen to this. So Mishnah she says, Rabbi, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm going to show you that within Breira itself, there are those who make distinctions in cases between when the ambiguity is dependent on my lack of decisive action, Tola Bedas Atzmo, versus Tola Bedas Achirim. Watch this. So the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tola Bedas Atzmo, Lesle Breira. So I say, Rabbi Yehuda holds that when the ambiguity is a result of my lack of decisive action, there is no Breira. There is no retroactive clarification. On the other hand, when the ambiguity is a result of others' lack of decisive action, Isle Breira. Both say, how so? Listen to this. Tola Badasat's Molesle Breira. Where do you see according to Rabbi Yehuda? Both say that if the circumstances are dependent on me, we don't imply the concept of Breira. Listen to this case. Desanya. Halokeach Yami Ben Akusim. Both say, somebody purchases wine from Kusim. Now, the idea over here is, both say, now Rashi points out Kodim Gzera. I mean, there was a subsequent Gzera that prohibited one from purchasing wine from Kusim. This is before that Gzera. So what happens? I'm purchasing wine from Kusim. The issue over here is, so let's say I'm allowed to drink the wine. The issue is, it's not tithed. It's not tithed, right? Shumas Vais have not been taken. But I want to drink the wine. What's the problem? I don't have utensils to separate out the trumas and maestros. So what do? I can't separate out, but I want to drink the wine. So what do? Omer, shnei lugin, shani asil lahafrish, harehin truma. So we'll say, I see like this. Two lug that I will separate in the future will be truma. Asara maestro rishon, 10 lug will be maestro rishon. Tisha maestro sheni, 9 lug will be maestro sheni. Amud beis, umeichel v'shos semiyad d'rebe meir. So we'll say, what happens? Mechel literally means I could deconsecrate the Meiser Sheni that's in it in a coin. We'll leave that on the side. And I could drink immediately these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rashi says, Shol Samiyad, de me'achar shekara shem yatzala midei tevel, ukashimo ti yayin l'shtiyaso, hua nivar l'chulin, uchlishiyo l'keilin v'yotzi yamirano l'truma, hua nivar truma v'yishbira. So we'll say, Rabbi Meir says like this. We say Yishbira. Yishbira says what? So now I go ahead and I say, I'm separating out, I'm going to separate out this for truma, this for Meiser, so on and so forth. Then I drink the wine. So when I drink the wine, we assume that the wine that I'm drinking is what? Is chulin. And later on, when I have the utensils and I separate out the trumas and maestros, so Yesh Breira says retroactively, it's clarified that the wine that I'm separating out now was what? Was the wine that I separated initially. So Rabbi Meir says, you could drink the wine. You have to do the separation, even though I'm not actively separating anything. I actually have to do the verbal separation. And when I actually take Trumas and Maestros later, it's retroactively clarified that what I took now is actually what I separated out, quote-unquote, or what I designated earlier on. Yesh Breira. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, it's Asur, you can't do this. Now both say, now the Gemara is assuming that, why can't you do this? Rashi says, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin, the less lehu breira, betola b'dasas, so shu atzma mosi asayayin. So we'll say, the assumption over here is that these rabbis don't allow for this. Why? Because it's breira, it's breira, right? It's retroactive clarification. And they hold that Rabbi Yossi in circumstances where the ambiguity is dependent on me. In other words, don't drink the wine. Don't drink the wine and just wait until you can separate out the trumas and maestros. So in those circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda says, we do not rely on breira. Okay? So this is the Gemara's proof that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the notion of breira when it's tole bedas atzmo, when the ambiguity is a result of my actions. On the other hand, tole bedas acherim is lei breira, but Rabbi Yehuda does accept the notion of breira when the ambiguity is based on the actions of others. Where do we see this from? Listen to this. So the Gemara says, Disnan mahi ba'osan hayamin. Rabbi say, what is her status during those days? Now, what are we talking about over here? Look at Rashi. Mahi ba'osan hayamin. Lekaman b'mishachzu. Zegitech me'achshav imesim mecholi zeh. Harei zeget imes ma'osacholi. Mahi koi me'acholi. Rabbi, listen to this. Let's say a husband is ill. And he gives his wife a get. And he says, if I go ahead and I die as a result of this illness, this should be your get, right? This is your get from now, if I die from this illness. Rabbi say, we actually saw this in Yavamis, that a man would do this, let's say, if he doesn't have children and he doesn't want his wife to have to deal with Yibum. So what he'll do is he wants to do a retroactive divorce. Retroactive, you can't remember, because there's no such thing. We'll learn this. Get la'achar misa. You can't have a get after the husband died. But lamais again, he wants to trigger a retroactive divorce. I'm giving you the get now. This is your get me'achsha from now, if I die as a result of this illness. So the Gemara asks, what is her status all of the days that he's sick? So Rabbi Huda Omer, Harei hi ke'eshes ish l'chol devareha. So, I mean, again, she's a married woman. All the days that she's dead, he's sick. Ulechimayis havigita. But ultimately what? When he dies, so it is a valid get. Rashi says, ke'eshes ish im koinu ocheles b'truma v'im zimsa b'chenek. Now, we'll say, what does this mean? This is actually very interesting. Let's say the husband is a kohen. So, we'll say, so the shaila really that they're asking is she allowed to eat truma? Because what's the possibility, Rabbi Yossi? The possibility is that he's gonna die from this illness. Retroactively, she'll be divorced, and then it turns out that what? that when she was eating truma, she really was the divorcee of a kohen who was not entitled to truma. But yet the Yehuda says, no, while she's married, she can eat truma. And what happens with the chimayas havigita? Rashi says, and when he dies, or if he dies from this particular illness, the get is a valid gift. Rashi says, diktani reish hariz get, v'ayir Rabbi Yehuda b'mahi osan yomim, amalo polig b'reish v'olam, rina get lachem ishu, keivad nemar me'achshav, v'afak al t'shosin aget ha'im misafkolei mi'chem yomos, v'tal atmai b'das misham yisu, v'chayim t'hu yim yado, u'kishameis aminan hovra ha'davar d'mishas nesina, ha'irai lomo zemecholi zeh, v'havale get, yeah, he said. I'm just reading two more lines. Sha'aman askei masru ve'inza kishar tanam sha'adam masna beget shabiyado lekaimam ve'daito lekaim kishar asavosei. So again, without getting into this whole thing over here, Rashi says, if you look at the last line, ilam mishum breira lo haviget mechaim. So Rabbi Huda clearly holds that what yesh breira. So I'll say, remember again, this idea over here, a husband says, this is your get if I die from this illness, and then he dies. It turns out that she's retroactively divorced from the time ultimately that he gave her the get. That means yesh breira. So we'll say, so now, here's what's interesting. So on one hand, Rabbi Yehuda is holding Ein Breira, in the case of the wine. In this case over here, he's holding Yesh Breira. So Rava will say that the only way to distinguish the two is how? To explain the following. When it's Tole Bedas Atzmo, when the ambiguity is dependent on me, right? The lack of karti is dependent on me, then Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Breira. But when it's Tole Bedas Achirim, when the ambiguity is based on someone else, then what? Then Rabbi Huda will in fact paskin yesh breira. The wine is das atzmo. I have the power to remove, to separate out trumas and maizrus. Tolo b'das achirim is dependent on the husband, not on the woman. Remember, we're looking from the woman's perspective, from her perspective. So from her perspective, again, I have no control over this. The truth is, Rashi actually points out that it's tolo b'das achirim even for the husband. Because whether he lives or dies, whether he lives or dies, not up to him. That's what Rashi actually says. It's really totally tolo b'das achirim. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says...
So there would never be a case of batzmo, if that would really be the case. If it's dependent on whether he lives or dies, I'm saying...
Right, by death, it's tolo b'das achirim.
Right.
There's dark, no, the white keys of one is tolo b'das atzmo. Oh, mamish, gorgeous. Right, so Amar ben Mishashia. So let's say, Mishashia said to Rava, so ha, Rabbi Shimon, the Tola, so the Gemara said the following, Amar ben Rav Mishashia the Rava, ha, Rabbi Shimon, tol b'das atzmo, les le breira, ve tol b'das achirim, is le breira. So we'll say, so Rava said to Rav Mishashia, so Rav Mishashia said to Rava, so Rav Shimon, who you are saying holds that tola b'das atzmo, there is no breira, but tola b'das achirim does have breira. Tola b'das atzmo les lebrera had the amran tola b'das achirim is lebrera. So what's this? So remember. So now, Rav Mishashi Zara. Remember, Rav is creating this construct where essentially he's saying like this: Rabbi Shimon holds of brera, but only. I will say, just so you understand, it's a logical argument. The idea of a need for retroactive clarification. Rabbi Shimon will say the only time you could rely on retroactive clarification is when you don't have the power to clarify these circumstances now. Then you could go ahead and rely on retroactive clarification. But if you hold the power to clarify the circumstances, then you can hold the breira. So for example, again, in the case of the wine, Rabbi Shimon will say, listen, you have the power to clarify this. How do you have the power to clarify it? How? How? Separate out the truma semis. I don't have a kli. You don't have a utensil. Fine. Wait. Who says you have to, just because you have the wine, doesn't mean you have to drink it now. Wait until you have the ability to clarify it. As opposed to, let's say, the case of the get, where literally, again, I have no control over these circumstances. It's totally independent on the hands of others. Therefore, again, in that case, I can hold the breira. So again, I'm sorry. Let's read that again. I'm going to Mishashi the Rabbah. So Mishashi said to Rabbah, how Rabbi Shimon... Har Rabbi Shimon, Getole b'das atzmo les lebrera. So now what you're telling me is, Rabbi Shimon holds that when this ambiguity, when I can resolve the ambiguity, there is no brera. Getole b'das achirim is lebrera. But when it's dependent on others, there is brera. Tole b'das atzmo les lebrera hada amra. So we'll say, the case of tole b'das atzmo, that there's no case in brera, that we said, that was the case of the wine. Tola b'das achirim is lebrera. Where do we see, however, that in the case of tola b'das achirim, he does hold the brera? So we'll say another case. Tisanya, hareini ba'alayich, o ba'alayich amnas sheyirtza abba. So we'll say, listen to this. A man says to a woman, right, I'm having relations with you, but the relations should only affect kiddushin if my father blesses the marriage. How he's pulling this one off, I'm not sure. Right? But the idea is very convincing individual. So what happens? So he says, okay, we're going to have relations, but it's only going to... I'm very firm. I want my father's blessing. Right? So, you know, people are... It's a little smorgasbord. I'll take this, now that. So I want my father's blessing on the marriage. So here's what we'll do. Let's save ourselves both some time. Let's engage in the bia now. But the bia should only affect kiddushin if my father blesses this union. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, "Afa pishlo ratza ab mikudeshes." So we'll say. So the first opinion says, even if the father does says, "I don't want you marrying her," the still mikudeshes. The B affects kiddushin. Rashi says, "Afa pishlo ratza ab mikudeshes." So Rashi says the following. He says, "The ain adam osa bi ilasa bilas nus." The Gemara believe all the kiddushin Gemara vafilo yirtzav because we'll say a person does not want his bia to be a bias. No, so a person doesn't want to engage in illicit relations. So the truth is, the guy has in mind that even if his father doesn't want the marriage, the bia should still affect the kiddushin. Meaning, even though he's saying, "I'm making this dependent on my father's blessing," at the end of the day, the alternative to his father not blessing the union is that it's a bias nos, and people don't want to engage in bias nos. Therefore, again, he's mikudesh, she's mikudeshes no matter what. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Ratzah Ha'av Mikudeshes. No. So Reb Shimon Abbasai says, if the father wants the union, then ultimately the marriage works, top of Chavav, Lo Ratzah Ha'av, Ina Mikudeshes. And if the father doesn't want it, then what? Then ultimately there's no Kiddushin. So Abbasai, look at Rashi, Lo Ratzah Ina Mikudeshes, Delo Ba'al Ela Al Tanai. Ultimately, again, the son is only engaging in relations with the Tanai. And the Tanai is that the father wants the union. So listen to this. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the Tanai stands. And therefore, if the father doesn't want this marriage, it's a bias nos. But let's focus on the other piece. If the father does want the marriage, then what? Then it turns out that retroactively, the bia was a bias nos, which Rabbi Shimon is what relies on what? Relies on Breira, right? And therefore, again, it's Kiddushin. Therefore, again, relies on Breira. Therefore, you see over here that what? This is a case of Tola Bedas Achirim. Why is it Tola Bedas Achirim, Bosai? Because it's dependent on the father's wanting of this Shidduch for his son. See, you see over there that Rabbi Shimon Paskins, Tola Bedas Achirim, Yesh Breira. So Amar Lei says, no, that's not true. Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Rabbi Shimon, Lo Shna Tola Bedas, Atzma Lo Shna Bedas Achirim, Islei Breira. And Bosa, in reality, so now Bosa, listen to what the Gemara does. Gemara does a 180. Really, Rabbi Shimon holds, there's always Breira. Bosa, this goes back to what Rava wanted to say earlier, which is, either you hold the Breira, or you don't hold the Breira. And if you hold the Breira, it applies in all cases. And if you don't hold the Breira, it doesn't apply in any of the cases. Rabbi Shimon holds Islei Breira. There is Breira. So, one second. Rose, now we've got a problem. What's the problem? If you hold Islei Breira, then I'm going to say, which case poses a challenge? The case of the wine. The case of the wine poses a challenge. Because remember, in that case, Rabbi Shimon said that you can't drink the wine by simply verbally designating this as truma or this as meiser, but rather, again, you have to wait until you can actually separate out. But if he holds Yesh Breira, then Yesh Breira should allow verbal tithing designations, and therefore drink the wine. And when you separate out the tithes, then it should retroactively clarify that what? That what you separate out now is what you designated earlier on. Rav Shimon doesn't hold that way. Ah, to which the Gemara says, because the case of wine is a different case. V'hasen ki diktani taima, Amul Rabbi Meir, Rabosai, because in the case of the wine, Rabbi Hud, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon said to Rabbi Meir, "Iat hamod eshemi yibaka hanot v'nim tzazesh shoset val mafreya." Rabbi Shimon had a different concern by the wine. What was the different concern by the wine? Different concern is you're separating out tithes now. You're verbally designating tithes, and you want to rely on retroactive clarification later on. What's the concern? Maybe the barrel will break, right? Maybe the barrel will break. If the barrel breaks and the wine spills all over the place before you have an opportunity to what? To actively separate out those tithes, it turns out that what? That retroactively, you are drinking tevel. Amar lahem, and Rabbi say, what does Rabbi Meir respond? L'chishayi baka. You know what? When it breaks, we'll worry about it. You should just know. So first of all, for the Gemara's purposes over here, what this does for us is the Gemara says Rabbi Shimon, really holds a Breira, which goes back to Rava's original assumption that either you hold Breira or you don't hold Breira. If you hold Breira, you don't make a distinction between Tolu Badas Haz and Tolu Badas Achirim. And the reason Rabbi Shimon rejects the notion of verbal designation of tithes by the barrel of wine, because he has a secondary concern, which is that you may verbally designate, and that by itself would be fine, but you have to be concerned about what? That the barrel is going to break, the contents will spoil over the place before you have a chance to separate out, and it turns out the lamafreya, you're going at your drinking tevel. But I think that in this machlokis is also a profound hashkafic machlokis. Right? I must say, in life almost, there are two different approaches to life. There are some people that worry about every single possible thing that could go wrong, right? Again, and the truth is, if you approach life that way, if an opportunity comes along and you worry about all the things that could break, all things that could go wrong, so ultimately the result of that often is inaction. Because everything we do in life, there's always an incredible risk of it backfiring, of it going wrong. So Rabbi Shimon says, but one second, the barrel may break. And I will say, I think that Rabbi Meir expresses such an incredible hashkafas hachayim. L'chishei baka. You're right. Everything in life could go wrong. And you know what? The only way to deal with life when it goes wrong is how? To deal with life when it goes wrong. If it breaks, or when it breaks, we'll deal with it then. But until that point in time, we have to keep moving forward. Right? We'll stop over here. Meretz Hashem. We'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow. Michael, welcome back. How was your trip?
Baruch Hashem. Good.
Ashkoyach.
This is...